of Orla Mackenzie Yesod, of, quote, "it doesn't matter how it looks," end quote. This means as follows. When we're educating our children, we have to focus on what is best for the child. That is our focus. What is best for the child, and if not, how does it look? What are people going to say? This is a major, major yesod. A parent should be concerned only with how his child develops. That's from the foreword of My Child, My Disciple, page 25. He says this in many places, in many different ways. Be'ezus Hashem will get there. We're going to read through his books and discuss it. Oh, he says here on page 32, quoted here from the Altar of Kelm, "A teacher very much seeks his student's good and not his own. He has no other intention." There he's talking about being a teacher. The same thing applies, he writes, to being a parent. Where does this come up? This comes up with having our kids in shul with us. You bring your child to shul, and he makes noise, and you're embarrassed. So you yell at him, you make a face at him, in shul. And because of your embarrassment, you just embarrassed him in front of the whole shul. He's going to remember that. It's going to hurt him. That's bad chinuch. Let me explain. If a child is old enough to be quiet in shul, and then he talks in shul, he makes noise, he shouldn't make noise. On a scale of 1 to 10, the fact that he made a little noise is a 2. He made a mistake. It's a 3 maybe. But because you're embarrassed, you get upset, you react, or we'll say you overreact to your child as if it's an 8 or a 9, and now he's getting a mixed message. He's learning, oh, this is the worst thing in the world, even though it's not. That's bad chinuch. And he's embarrassed in front of the whole shul. This is a major yesod. If your child talks in shul, you have to tell him he can't talk in shul. And if there's some sort of natural consequence, there's a natural consequence. Maybe he won't come with you the next time if you can't sit quietly. But don't overreact to your child based on what other people are thinking. It's unfair to your child, and it's bad chinuch. And that is the classic. That is the classic example of having our children in shul with us, and they make noise. You have to react to him based on what's best for him, for the child. Oh, Avorowik writes in My Child, My Disciple. Here he tells a story. Yaakov, age 3, is in shul. He's unable to read. He quickly grows restless and noisy. Yaakov's father, worrying over the disturbance his son is causing others, looks over at him with disgust and hisses, "Shh!" After a brief interlude, Yaakov starts up again. So his father, quote-unquote, disciplines him with a patch, whereupon the child begins to howl and must be removed from shul. Well, Avorowik said, the father was embarrassed and ashamed by his son's behavior, and therefore, he overreacted. And then Avorowik writes something very scary. He says, if we worry about appearances, our emotions get the better of us. Once you're embarrassed, you're going to overreact because of your emotions. Oh. And he writes, discipline must be solely for the recipient's benefit. As difficult as it may sometimes seem, we must ignore what people's opinions of us and our children. Focus only on what parental response best serves your child. Remember, this is an amazing sentence, onlookers forget, but your child may consciously or unconsciously resent you for years to come, unfortunately. And if this overreaction becomes a pattern, he certainly will not forget and probably will not forgive. Wow. This is crucially important. Again, If it's a 2, it's a 2. So you have to react as if it's a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. But we get excited and embarrassed and ashamed and we react emotionally like it's a 9, and then we overreact. Well, why am I talking about this now? Because Purim's coming, and we shouldn't bring our kids to shul unless we know they can sit quietly. Rav Orlovich writes here at the corollary of this yesod is, quote, first, don't put your child in situations in which he's almost sure to misbehave. Don't bring your child to shul on Purim unless he can sit quietly. It's a terrible mistake. A, it's not fair to the other people. Your kid's going to make noise. We discuss in the halacha shir. You miss one word, you're not yotzei. Other people might not be yotzei. They'll be angry at you. And two, because we know how important it is to hear every word, there's a good chance you'll overreact. And think about it. You're going to overreact. Your child will have this negative memory of going to shul on Purim. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. It's bad. It's bad halachically and it's bad parenting. You don't bring your child to shul on Purim until he's able to sit quietly for the Megillah reading. It's an obvious but fundamental yesod. And this is what would happen. There's another major principle of parenting we'll discuss a different time, Bezrat Hashem, called good memories. We want to give our kids good memories as they grow up. When you bring your child to shul, and he can't control himself, and he makes noise, and everyone's shushing, and you're shushing, and then you have to take him out of shul or something, that's the worst memory of Purim. Terrible mistake. So let's all follow up Orlowick's advice. How it looks doesn't matter. We have to react solely based on what's best for the child. Don't let our emotions and our upsets affect us. The corollary is don't bring the child to shul if he's not going to be able to sit quietly. For example, how do you do? Let's say a child begins to learn how to read a little. So let him come to shul for the end of the evening for a few minutes to sit quietly and shul for a few minutes. Then as he gets older, he can sit longer. Let him come to shul a little earlier for part of the time, little by little. But only when he's able to do it. We shouldn't put our child in situations in which he's almost sure to misbehave, because then we're going to misbehave and have overreactions. And this can't be emphasized enough. Discipline must be solely for the recipient's benefit. What is best for my child right now? That's such a major principle. Oh, and on Purim, the Lamaisa example is, kids should not be in shul unless they can sit quietly. It's not good for the other people in shul. It's not good for the parent. And it's certainly not good for the child. For the child either. Oh. This is Rav Orlovich's major, major yesod. One more thing he mentions. If you bring a child to shul before he can sit quietly, aside from everything else we said, you're training the child to what? To not act properly in shul. To talk and to make noise. He's being trained to have bad habits of not treating the shul with proper kedusha. Oh. Furthermore, he's going to have bad habits. Oh. And it's hard to unlearn these bad habits. So for all these reasons, please, know your child and then decide whether to bring him to shul on Purim only if he's able to sit quietly. If he is, then wonderful. What a wonderful experience that one can have a child in shul with him on Purim with Haman and making the noise. Very exciting. But let's do it the right way. It's better to wait a year and do it the right way than do it too early and have a very negative experience and bad memories for the child and everyone else around. We'll stop here. Purim Sameach.